Call the meeting to order. Vice Chairman Smith, I am going to abstain from participating in the public hearing, and I will not be voting on the final outcome. And with that, sir, I'm going to turn the gavel over to you, and I'll be back as soon as you're done with this one.
All right, sir. Thank you. And what I would like to say to the public is that appears as though the applicant has placed an exhibit up on the easel. Anybody with an interest in this application, please feel free to get up and take a look at it. However, I would ask you to do so quietly, as the applicant or the applicant's attorney may be making his presentation, and any noises that you make will be picked up by our audio recording devices. So once again, feel free, but please refrain from commenting until it's your turn in the public hearing. And with that said, the chair recognizes Mr. Fuqua.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuqua. I'm an attorney in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Inland Bays LLC. With me tonight, seated in the second row back here, is Dave McCarthy, who's a representative of Inland Bays, and seated right behind me is Gordon Mead of Davis Bowen and Friedel, who are the engineers and site designers. There was an exhibit book submitted, which I assume you gentlemen have a copy of. As you noted, I placed the exhibit there so that the folks who are here for this application can see it. I will turn it back to the commission when Mr. Mead is going over the site plan. This is a conditional use application for 48 townhouse units on an 11.96 acre parcel of land that's located on the north side of Fred Hudson Road, which is County Road 360, approximately a quarter mile east of the intersection of Fred Hudson Road and Cedar Neck Road. The Inland Bays LLC, or other entities that are controlled by it, has owned the property since 1998. This conditional use application is substantially the same conditional use application that was presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission in January of 2004. At that time, it did receive a recommendation of approval from the commission in January of 2004, subject to conditions. And that conditional use was approved by the county council on January 27th, 2004. Extensions were granted on that conditional use approval for 2 years, but for business reasons, the project was put on hold at that time, and the preliminary approvals expired in 2007. The intent is to revive the project and hopefully move forward with the anticipated economic recovery, which we've been waiting for some time. The substance of the application remains essentially the same as previously presented. The site is zoned MR, medium density residential. No change of zone is being requested. The MR zoning permits approximately 4.15 units per acre, so the 48 units comply with the existing zoning's permitted density. Under the 2008 comprehensive plan, the parcel is designated as being in the environmentally sensitive development area and the mixed residential area, both of which are considered to be growth areas. The comprehensive plan recognizes that a full range of housing types are appropriate in those areas, including single-family townhouses and multifamily units. The plan notes that central water and sewer facilities are strongly encouraged, and this proposed conditional use will utilize both central water and sewer. The site, as was stated, is in the Level 3 area under the State Strategies Plan. That is an area where the state anticipates growth to be. The site is in the Sussex Shores Water Company service area, so water for both domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Sussex Shores Water Company. As far as sewer, the development is located in the Cedar Neck expansion area of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. It is allocated for 48 units. There is a connection already provided in the Bethany Lakes development for this site. The county engineer's comments, which were submitted to for the record, confirm that the development is within the sewer system design and planning study assumptions, and that the capacity we're proposing can be assumed. DelDOT, as far as traffic, because of the size of the proposed development, did not require a traffic impact study. Their traffic evaluation form indicates that the traffic is as anticipated in an MR zoning, which is what they plan. This is level of service C, and this proposed development will not change the level of service C. The development will be a condominium development. The condominium association will be responsible for the enforcement of restrictions, collections of assessments, and the operation and the maintenance of the common areas and recreational facilities. Other utilities, electric, would be provided by Connective and telephone by Verizon. The site is located in the Indian River School District and in the service area of the Millville Volunteer Fire Company. The Millville Volunteer Fire Company station is located about 2.3 miles from the site. The proposed development is consistent with the nature of the area, which is developed as a mixed-use, predominantly residential area. I'm going to refer to Tab C, the first map in Tab C, as a aerial map of the immediate area. And if you refer to that map, you can see the site is highlighted. I think you can see that the site is, I think, what would be considered to be an infill site in relationship to the other development that has occurred in the Cedar Neck Route 360 area. The site is adjacent to Bethany Lakes development, which borders the site on the west and the north. The Salt Pond residential plan community and golf course is located across Fred Hudson Road to the south. As you know, Salt Pond is a larger RPC, which consists of several village areas that contains both single-family homes and townhouses. Several changes have occurred to the area property since the original approval of the conditional use. And if you go down Route 360 to the intersection, just west of Cedar Neck Fred Hudson Road intersection, at the time of the original application, Lindley Village, which is still shown on this aerial photo, was located along the water there. Lindley Village subsequently was sold. The manufactured home community was removed, and basically that was approved as a single-family condominium development, which is currently under development. The name of that is Sunset Harbor. Immediately in front of where Lindley Village was, or in that general area, I think it was that site, or maybe it was adjacent to that, but there was the Old Mill Crab House, which I think you all recall, and that property was also sold. The site immediately in front of Lindley Village was approved for 48 townhouses on a 12-acre parcel. That has been developed, and then the adjacent site, which would be to the north of Lindley Village and the piece I was just talking about, that was approved for 160 units on 40 acres, and again, that site has also been developed. I think combined, they are referred to as Bayside at Bethany Lakes. Adjacent to Bethany Lakes on the east side of Cedar Neck Road, it's not shown on here, it's just shown as somewhat blank there, but there's a new development there, which is Cedar Bay. Also, as you'll recall, at the actual intersection of the roads where the entrance to Salt Pond was, for a long time was the sales office for Salt Pond, and it also became a sales office for another real estate office. And also there was a miniature golf course, which was the Salt Pond miniature golf course. That site was subsequently sold. That was part of the RPC, and that was originally zoned commercial as part of the RPC. And that site was sold, and it's now developed with a Harris Teeter grocery store. So the since the time of the original application, there's been other development that's occurred in the immediate area, which is either consistent with what we're proposing or the commercial development, which obviously is complementary to the residential uses in the area. With that, I'm going to turn our presentation over to Gordon Mead, and he's going to review the specifics of the site plan with you.
Good evening.
As Jim said, I'm Gordon Mead with Davis Cohen and Friedel, and we are the engineers on the project. As Jim indicated, the project was formally approved, and we did make some changes per the recommendations of the Planning Commission, one of which is that this was turned into one single loop with a single entrance on Fred Hudson Road, which we have done. The other was that at that time, our access to the pool and tennis court was adjacent to Bethany Lakes, and we were asked to eliminate that, to eliminate any cross traffic between the two developments. And so our access now is off of this little cul-de-sac, and it's basically just a pedestrian access back in here, as well as a gravel drive for service, but the reason being is that we are encroaching slightly on the wetland here in order to make that connection, because we've eliminated the upland access that we formerly had to the pool and tennis court. The project is required to have 149 parking spaces, and we are proposing a total of 192, so we meet the parking requirements of the site. We do have, as I said, a minor incursion or into the wetlands that amounts to a total of roughly 8/100 of an acre, so less than a tenth of an acre. Those incursions are the one I discussed, plus this incursion here, which was necessary to create our loop, and a slight incursion about 0.02 of an acre at the back of these. On the drawing, you can see that we have pulled the plan to the west as much as possible in order to preserve the existing 404 wetland areas and upland forested areas, which are adjacent to the Nature Conservancy. Subaqueous lands that were discussed are immediately adjacent to the property, but not on the property. And we've left a 50-foot buffer to the property line, so it's a minimum of 50 feet, if not more, to the subaqueous lands, but we will indeed get with DENREC, the subaqueous lands people, and make sure that the buffer is appropriate. We do have an approved jurisdictional determination on the 404 wetlands, and with that, I believe I've hit the main points, and we offer ourselves for any questions.
We want to explain what we have in the recreational facilities.
That's true. We do have a pool and bathhouse and a single tennis court, so we included in the recreational facility. The 404 wetland incursions, we do recognize that we'll have to mitigate at a rate of 2 or 2.5 to 1, and believe that we can do that in conjunction with the wetland pond that we are creating, or the stormwater management pond that we're creating.
Gordon, on there you show there's two stormwater areas shown on there.
Mr. Fuqua, if you could stand up to the podium so that
Tape picks you up.
Yeah. Tape picks you up.
Can you explain the two stormwater areas? And our the main, one is a possible.
Our main stormwater management area is this blue stormwater management pond that's associated with the townhomes in this area. We had a smaller pond that we were showing in this area. We're not really sure we're going to need it with the advent of some new stormwater management techniques. We're still showing a possible facility there, but it might be done through non-rooftop and rooftop disconnect and some other more inventive stormwater management practices, in which case we would not have to do any clearing in this area or maybe reduce the area.
As Gordon was explaining, in your booklet you have the site plan. This was the original site plan that was submitted at the time of the original application back in 2004. So just so you'll see what Gordon was referring to, this did not have a loop here. The road came in and went around back here, and at the request of the Planning and Zoning Commission, that roadway there was requested to be put in so that this looped around. And that this road here, which came down along Bethany Lakes in the rear, be eliminated so that there'd be less roadway along there. And that's basically the basis of the site revisions that were done to that plan. Gentlemen, I do have prepared some proposed conditions and findings of facts, which I will give to your attorney.
Mr. Fuqua, would you like to submit what you just showed us to Mr. Yeah. Abbott for inclusion in the record?
I was going to ask the same thing, just if you could.
There is a planning and zoning file that has that all in it.
Okay.
From the original.
Well, just so but it's not in this. This is a new application. I think we should have this in this file.
You have an extra copy.
But that's okay. I can just take it out of this book.
The only other way to do it almost is to incorporate that whole prior file. I don't know that.
So this is a similar booklet to what you have, but this is the one that was submitted at the original application. So again, this was the original 2004 design.
Thanks.
Thank you.
In conclusion, as I stated, this is a reapplication for conditional use development that was approved by the county several years ago. The design is substantially the same. The only changes that were made were basically based on requests from the Planning and Zoning Commission as included by the County Council in the conditions resulting in the revised site plan. The nature of the area is predominantly residential, mixed-use, single-family, and multifamily. As I've stated, several other residential developments have occurred since the time of the original application, as well as the construction of the grocery store that serves the needs of the area. And gentlemen, that will conclude our presentation, and we'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Fuqua, do you wish to have Mr. McCarthy testify at this time, or will he sort of be a pinch hitter in case the
Just if you have any questions that are more toward the marketing or design or things of that nature.
All right, sir. Thank you. Well, we appreciate your presentation, and if you, sir, will stand down. We will see if the members of the commission and staff have any questions, and I'll start with Mr. Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Fuqua, you mentioned that this was a previous application, and just for clarity, the number of units that are in this application as compared to the original application, are they the same or are they?
Same number.
48 on each. And the parking spaces you calculated at 149. Do those include the 9 spaces, if I count them correctly, that are to service the pool area?
They do.
So the 9 spaces that service the pool area are included in the 149.
Okay.
About that. Okay. And I mean, do you feel that the 9 spaces in the parking area are adequate to service that area?
I do because.
Hold on, just So the microphone picks you up. So yeah, thanks.
I do, because this will be a community facility, and it will be used by only the members of the community. And so most people, or many people, will elect to walk or ride their bike or whatever. So,
are there sidewalks on both sides of the streets in your?
Actually, they're only proposed on the side of the townhouses themselves, so one side of the street.
Very well. The Bethany Lakes project, do you know, maybe an unfair question, but do you know when that was built out or when that was built?
I don't know when it was built out. I know that it was, at the time of the original application, it was under construction.
So it was under construction when this was first approved in 2004.
Yes.
The buffer area adjoining Bethany Lakes, I was so busy irrigating my crops, thank God for rain today, because it's been killing me. I'm not used to that W word. It's wearing me out. But I didn't get a chance to ride by the site. The buffer in Bethany Lakes, is there a buffer in existence in Bethany Lakes on their side of the property line?
On their side?
Yes.
I think there's a stormwater management feature along part of it, and then they have a road that comes down almost immediately adjacent to the site. If you look at the drawing that we showed.
I don't think it was required at the time, but that subdivision was approved, and so I just didn't know if one was installed, notwithstanding the requirement.
On this concept layout, it shows Bethany Lakes to the north, and it shows their road coming right down immediately.
Down the edge, right?
If you look at the first map in tab C,
I think that's wherein the concern was from the commission during the original application, that there would be a crossing there, and that one.
I can understand that concern. The building setbacks and buffers obviously conform to code, but this incursion into the wetland area is concerning. How do you feel so confident that you can mitigate that in the stormwater pond? Is that going to be a wet pond, or what's the construction?
Yes, it's going to be a wet pond.
It's going to be a wet
pond. So it will maintain a constant level of water, so it'd be.
And typically, we're not too prone to encourage or condone the buildings into the wetland areas. Replacement is not as conducive, so. Is there any way to reconfigure so that those buildings aren't actually in the 404 wetlands, or is it just impossible to do?
It was really quite difficult, if not impossible, to do it in order to save as much of the wetland or the wetlands and upland forest areas adjacent to the Nature Conservancy. We tried to eliminate any disturbance in that area on the eastern side of the property.
You mentioned the Nature Conservancy. Did the property owner approach the Nature Conservancy a possibility of just buying the development since it was at expiration, or do you know if any conversations took place?
I'm not aware of any conversations. As I said, the property owner zoned it for over 10 years.
And I guess I want to have one last question. I'll let the rest of the commission and I'll anticipate the public comments. The entrance way seems to be amenable to a mailbox station, the way it's designed. Would you object to just contacting if we acted favorably on the application, to just contact the mail people just to see, considering their condominiums, and whether that would be appropriate in the entrance way there?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Vice Chairman, Acting Chairman, that's all my questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Robertson, being this is an MR zoning, does it require the 30-foot or the buffer that we're requiring in our subdivisions?
You know, I know it does on subdivisions. Let me look. If you have other questions, I'll come back.
I might have one or two.
Yeah, I was going to say, my recollection is that it can be added as a condition. It's not a requirement like it is in subdivisions, but let me double check it.
How much of the forested area is going to be cleared by what you're showing us tonight?
Off the top of my head, I am not sure what's all down here. We're doing the site plan. Let me pull that. I apologize for not.
That's in the spirit of Mr. Gordy.
There is 9.16 acres of forested area, and 5.43 acres are to be retained undisturbed.
So we're looking at about a, what's that, about a 40% reduction in the forested area?
Approximately, yeah.
Is there a particular reason why you're sticking a stormwater management pond in the middle of the townhouses and sticking the recreational area way off in a far corner of the property?
Well, most of the stormwater management, which that pond is going to take care of, is within that area of townhomes and roadways, and it's also going to be used as an aesthetic feature for those residents there. So it serves a dual purpose as a stormwater management feature and an aesthetic feature as well. Due to site limitations, we had no other area without disturbing a lot more wetlands to put the amenities, the pool and tennis court, and so in order to offer it, that was where it would have to go. It would be very difficult, if not impossible, to put a stormwater management pond over there to manage the stormwater within the developed area.
And back to the wetlands, which seem to be prevalent throughout your project, are you encroaching upon any of the wetlands as you're currently showing? I see
yes.
A notation about a fraction of an acre, but wetlands are being.
As I said, there's a crossing with the road here that is wetlands. As I said, a pedestrian gravel crossing in this area for the pool and tennis courts. And then there is a slight incursion into the wetlands with these four townhomes.
So you're proposing to fill in the wetlands there to build your townhouses?
There's roughly 200ths of an acre of wetlands to be disturbed there, which, as I said, we would mitigate for that and create 2 to 2.5 times.
And where would those mitigated wetlands be provided?
In conjunction with the pond.
So your stormwater management ponds, what you're proposing to substitute for the wetlands?
It would be wetlands adjacent to or on the edge of the pond, yes.
And again, that wouldn't be under our design. That would be per Army Corps of Engineers permit.
So then what I'm hearing is not only are you encroaching upon wetlands by filling in wetlands and putting in your buildings, that means there's absolutely no buffer from those wetlands at all.
That's correct. Or very minimal buffer.
Well, if you're building on top of them, then there's none. And what about your other buildings that I see? Is there additional encroachment, or is that the only area?
That's the only area of encroachment by any buildings.
And looking at your design here, and let's go to, I guess it's building number 6. What kind of a buffer are you providing there from those wetlands, if any?
Okay. It would probably be no more than roughly 10 feet at the nearest area.
And then looking up at building number four, it appears as though there may be some wetlands in adjacent to those, that building as well?
There are wetlands adjacent to that. Here again, it's probably 10, 15 feet most.
So given that DNRAC recommends a minimum buffer of 100 feet, and you're building on top of the wetlands or in other areas, providing a buffer of perhaps a whopping 10 feet, how does your plan or your design, how does it address the concerns that DNRAC has presented, as well as the numerous scientific studies that were cited by DNRAC?
Is there a greater buffer required?
Excuse me?
Is there a greater buffer required?
I know there's not. We're talking about my question is, how are you addressing the concerns both of DNRAC and the scientific community? I'm not asking, are you meeting the buffer requirements of the county, because the county doesn't have any on your 404.
Well, DNRAC doesn't have any either.
Right. These are federal wetlands.
Correct.
And we're meeting the federal requirement.
And the federal requirements. Okay. Well, again, I still haven't heard an answer how that addresses their concerns and the scientific concerns.
Well, it's quite possible we don't address their concerns.
Should we?
It's quite possible we don't address their concerns.
Okay.
Because some of DNRAC's concerns, they have concerns. They have an opinion about something. But until there's a rule or a regulation requiring it, it's not required. And we've gone through this for years with DNRAC. You know, 404 wetlands are wetlands, and we understand that. But there is no required buffer.
I understand there's not a required buffer to the 404. That's why my question was directed to the scientific nature of it, not the ordinance or lack of ordinances or lack of whatever from DNRAC that would make it enforceable in law.
And I think their concern is mostly regarding the subaqueous lands, and we are maintaining what we believe is an adequate buffer, and it's a forested buffer between any disturbance and the subaqueous lands.
So those areas are those lands are not on your property.
Those lands are not on our property, but we're still maintaining 50 feet to that property line. So,
well, Mr. Acting Chairman, at this point, I don't have any questions.
If you have any others, we will get back to you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Burton.
Mr. Johnson addressed a lot of my questions, which were really all about the wetlands. Was there a note that you haven't met with DNRAC yet? Is that what?
Yeah, about the subaqueous lands.
That's the subaqueous. But here again, they're not on our property, but we will meet with them regarding the issue.
But you've had meetings with them in concerning where these townhouses are sitting in relationship to the 404?
What we've done is submitted a jurisdictional determination to the Corps of Engineers, and they've substantiated where we're showing our 404 wetlands. We have not submitted any permitting for disturbance of those wetlands, but we will have to in order to get permits through the county.
What is the Y-shaped road there made of?
Gravel drive.
Yeah. Then there's a path that runs right along next to it. Is there? Why wouldn't they just walk down the gravel drive?
It's really combined. There's not an additional path.
Sorry.
He's out of control.
I have a sight plane issue.
He grew this little hair under his chin, and now he's lost direction over here.
My apologies.
He's out of order.
You want to say that again for the record?
Well, it's being shown that way, but that's not really the intent. The intent is for it to be combined.
But it would be a packed road. The road would be a packed enough road to drive a service vehicle across it.
Oh, yeah.
And then would the same be true when you cross the 404 wetlands getting to building 8? Is that a
those are paved driveways. Those are paved streets.
So what, to come across that 404 wetlands, is that a bridge system?
it will probably be a culvert of some nature. Yeah.
No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burton.
Mr. Ross wants to follow up. 2 points for clarity. You're conforming with all ordinance and state buffers and setbacks. Is that correct for our county ordinances?
With the exception of where the wetland encroachments are proposed to be,
and those,
which will have to comply with federal permits.
Federal jurisdictional issue. And then the second question is, under conditional use, it's not an ordinance, but if we were to require a 30-foot buffer, as is required for a subdivision, is there space there for that?
And before you answer that, just for the commission's benefit, because I think Mr. Johnson asked the question.
Right.
The buffer ordinance, I went back and looked at it. Obviously, it applies to subdivisions. It's 115, section 115.218 says that the commission and council may impose the same buffer upon multifamily dwelling projects, and it would be 20 feet all the way around, yeah, not the 30. So
we would probably lose a unit to do that. Because we are so close to the wetlands, we don't want to push it any closer.
I think you better plan on that.
This is the perimeter buffer?
Yes. I mean, it's required for our subdivisions, and I would anticipate that we would not do any less for this application.
In scaling it, it looks like where you perhaps run into an issue, and I don't know if it is one or not, but it would be along the... Well, I don't know where the north area is. Anyway, the top side of the site plan and the left side of the site plan, well, basically along the Bethany Lakes common boundary, just because it looks like your roadway is closer than 20 feet to that property line.
10 feet.
Yeah. All right. Let me take it up there.
The only thing I would suggest is I think it's fair to look at the Bethany Lake subdivision to see what's there in terms of what you're buffering.
I agree.
Because on the north side, you're really buffering roads, which really doesn't serve any purpose, and there is some addition. There is buffer existing on the west side.
It's here. There's a road that goes parallel.
Road, yeah. Yeah.
So you're saying on this side, right, that runs adjacent, that buffering a road from a road is kind of nonsensical, and I would have to accept that as at least somewhat logical. Yes.
Mr. Abbott, do you have any questions, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Robertson.
No, that was the only thing I just wanted to follow up to Mr. Johnson on that buffer question. Thanks.
And, Mr. Robertson, I have a question for you. Are you satisfied that, I believe it's tab F of the applicant's exhibit book is adequate for their submission of a environmental concerns report that we usually ask for in the ESDOZ?
Well, they have submitted one. You know, I think it's up to the commission ultimately to decide if it's adequate. I mean, it satisfies that requirement in that it's been submitted.
I see. It shows nutrient loading and the referenced letter from Mr. Brundage, I believe it is. Yes. And Evelyn Moore-Myers. Yeah, I did want to let the applicant know, as I'm sure Mr. Fuqua recognizes, you'd mentioned about several times the previous application and questions and concerns by the commission. What you see before you tonight, with the exception of Mr. Abbott, is a entirely different turnover from what the other application is, and we'll be acting on this.
Yes, it is.
I, sir, if you would indulge me, would like to ask a question or two, and it's in your tab A under 5, you mentioned amenities and recreational features are located for convenient access and the promotion of a sense of neighborhood. You mentioned under that the central amenities are isolated from adjacent developments. It seems to me that the amenities are also isolated from this community, and that location fragments that forest and requires, or you have proffered to add an additional parking area there, a roadway that has to go across the wetlands. It just seems as if it was centralized, that like where you have your blue water stormwater management pond, that would be a wonderful area for the amenity. Well, I'm not trying to redesign your plan, but I'm pointing out what I see to be sort of an inconsistency in that statement 5 under tab A.
Mr. Smith, it can cut both ways because the...
Yes, it could. I just want to hear your response.
Obviously, the point you raise is a valid point, but every site is designed in accordance with the particulars of that site. And obviously, there were some challenges with this site, with the forest, with the location, with the wetlands. And just from general experience, sometimes when recreational facilities are placed in close proximity to an adjacent development, that's frowned upon by the adjacent property owners also. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, the on-site recreational amenities are placed further away from the adjacent development, yet on-site enough with the proximity to reach the site. It's not a big site. And again, people going to play tennis are probably not going to drive their cars to go down there to play tennis. They're going to ride their bikes or they're going to walk down there.
It's a very easy walk, really. It is a small site, but it's set away enough that, the tennis courts and the pool won't be a disturbance to those people that, might be trying to rest or sleep or whatever.
Would you be willing to acknowledge that it does fragment that forest and result in tree loss, as pointed out by Mr. Johnson?
It does.
Thank you.
But I would mention, they are trees. I mean, this is private property. It's not part of the state property.
Yes. Yes. That's good. If it was part of the state property, you'd have less area to work with, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
There are trees that we remove.
Yes.
Well, I would point out, because this has come up before, it's a site plan. It's a conditional use site plan. And, I went back while we were talking and looked at advice Mr. Schrader gave to the commission and went back before me. And I was here in 2004 when this came up. So when you look at site plan review for multifamily dwelling developments, it talks about a number of things that the commission can review, and one of them is the preservation of trees, historic sites, provision for open space, harmonious and appropriate use of the land. So I hear what Mr. Fuqua is saying, but at the same time, I think that the code does at least say that you should shed some light on that. That's one of the considerations you can look at in site plan issues. So, I mean, it's not that it's not been stated anywhere in the code that you can't consider trees,
So as Mr. Fuqua just stated, it can cut both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
And again, I point out, as we stated before, we're disturbing 40% of the trees. Is that what you said, Gordon? Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, this wasn't something that wasn't in the planning of the development. 60% of the existing forested area is being preserved. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I have a question because I don't know, but you, sir, being an expert, recognizing that there probably are challenges with this site, do any of the challenges of the site allow for, you mentioned possibility of exploring some other stormwater management practices that might be in, that may have come about in the last 4 or 5 years. I think we now have a green technologies manual. Is there anything that could be done with swales or any bioretention that you could address? Because you mentioned the little stormwater management pond that you were playing with some advanced refined
techniques. Those are definitely
techniques.
Things that we'll look at. We're doing a number of those things in Maryland, like I said, rooftop and non-rooftop disconnect, some bioretention devices and swales. Submerged gravel wetlands and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a number of what are considered environmental site design techniques that we will be looking at and presenting to the conservation district.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. In the plus comments, there appears to be a request by from Fish and Wildlife, Edna Stetzner, to possibly visit the site And I'm reading it. It seems as though your response is in the affirmative, that you're acknowledging your private property rights, that if you invite them on the property, which you're saying you will, that, you know, the access to the site will be limited and at the discretion of the property owner. But am I correct on the record that the property owner would invite Ms. Stetzer or one of her representatives to document Fish and Wildlife? Thank you, sir. Thank you, gentlemen. Anyone else on the commission or staff have any questions?
Not this time.
Well, we will see what input, if any, from the public we have. Regarding conditional use number 1850, the applicant being Inland Bays, is there anyone that would like to testify in favor of this application? Regarding conditional use number 1850, Inland Bays.
Mr. Chairman?
This is against
or? Your favor.
Now, regarding this application, is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition? If you please come up to the podium and give the microphone your name and address, and you may have the floor.
My name is Ellen Passman. I live at 38384 Virginia Drive, Bethany Beach, and that's in Bethany Lakes. And my property doesn't directly impact my property, but I am concerned about the taking down of trees. And I really don't, I mean, is there any way that the facilities could be moved in so you don't have
to? Madam, you have to address your questions to us and then.
Okay, all right. So what I'm concerned about is the trees that are being taken down. 40% to me sounds still like a lot of trees.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any way of turning the facility, the tennis courts, and the pool sort of at an angle or inward or, you know, closer to the buildings so that they could not take down as many trees as they are taking down? And,
I believe the applicant has addressed that, but if you don't have any other questions, I will ask them to address it to us so you can hear it again.
Well, he didn't say specifically why he couldn't move it closer.
No, he did. He did not. Thank you, Mr. Mead. Would you like to address Ms. Ellen Passman's question, please, sir?
The only real way to reduce the amount of disturbance for the pool and tennis courts would be to reduce the size of the pool or the tennis court, and we can't do that to a tennis court. It wouldn't be functional anymore. And the pool's not very, you know, all that big. So that would be the only way to do it, and I don't really think that it's appropriate in this case. Even if we moved it to where the pond was, we'd have to remove trees for that, and then the pond would have to go over, you know, into the forested area. So, I mean, we've done as much as we believe we can to reduce the forest loss, and
it's not
been easy to get it to where it is.
And I'm sure Mr. Fuquay doesn't want to hear me ask him how many gallons are in that swimming pool. So, but that is the answer. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
Mr. Smith, if I could, while this gentleman's walking up, just because it follows on that lady's question, which is in context of something that I hope everybody understands, is that what the commission does is make a recommendation to county council, and county council acts on the ordinance, like I think Mr. Wheatley explained in one of the prior ones. If it's acted on favorably, these folks would go through all the final engineering. I mean, this is just a conceptual preliminary plan, so, you know, the stormwater management pond, as I think Mr. Mead stated, once Sussex Conservation District looks at it, it may get shrunk or re-engineered completely. So, you know, the site plan may change, and these types of things, you know, these folks are going to hear and they'll take into account, you know, and address as they go through it if it's approved by county council. So those sort of the site plan is separate almost from the approval too, just so everybody understands that.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. And adding to that, there will be a second public hearing on this on September 14th here in this very same venue before Sussex County Council. If you would please give us your name and address, sir, and you may have the floor. Direct your questions to me, sir.
My name is Dana Linden. I live at 38382 Virginia Drive, Bethany Beach in Bethany Lakes. We have already submitted a letter to you all, but our primary concern, because we're the only property, I think, we live right here, we're the only property that really butts up against your development. And so our primary concern is the comments that we read from the government agencies. You know, we went to the planning and zoning office and read through it. And they talked about the potential flooding that might occur on this property. And we see the stormwater ponds, and I think I heard one of the gentlemen say that the stormwater ponds were going to be filled, you know, for aesthetics. And so one of my questions is, if they're filled, how much water are they going to hold from a storm? And the second question is, where does the water go when it tops off? Is it all stuff goes downhill? I think I'm downhill.
Well, I can.
I don't want to be collateral damage from 48 other owners.
Mm-hmm. And I can answer that for you without even getting the applicant involved. What happens is, again, if approval occurs from county council, the agency in the state of Delaware that has oversight over stormwater management is going to look at the design of both what we call the wet pond, which is the one that has the water, and any other stormwater management facilities, and they're going to make sure that they're engineered so that they work, and they're going to make sure that there's the appropriate outfalls that don't adversely affect anybody else.
So if I understand you, that means that when it overflows, they're going to make sure it doesn't come towards me.
I mean, it's going to be designed to deal with the flood levels that Denrec and the Conservation District have.
Is it going to not flow towards me?
That depends on what the engineers do and how it gets approved by the Conservation
District. It can't depend on that. I live there. I'm not going to be at the tail end of 48 other guys who are moving in. They don't live there yet. And if they can't design it properly, then don't design it.
Well, it has no design right now.
I know.
Mr. Mead can probably answer. If you'd like.
The discharge for that pond will not.
Sir, you'll have to stand up so the mic picks you up.
The discharge from that pond will not be towards your property. It was likely to be towards Fred Hudson Road, or possibly toward the existing channel in the conservancy, but it will not be towards your property. And the pond won't be full. It will have a permanent pool of water, but there'll still be capacity above that permanent pool of water to safely.
Are you going to have a well in there or something? How's it going to have water in it all the time?
Well, for one thing, there is a high water table in that area, and so there will be naturally occurring water at a certain depth, but it will be designed to hold.
I'm not supposed to talk to you. But I live there. Thanks for talking to me. But, you know, I live there. I've lived there for 5 years, and it rains all the time when it rains. I don't see any water just standing on the ground, so. One of the concerns I have about building a thing to begin with is it's aesthetic for who? I mean, there's nobody down there but me. Everybody else is up at this end. So if there's any way you guys can just eliminate it and not take down the trees, I think we'd all be happy. I mean, if it's necessary for safety so that there's no flooding, then by all means, put it there.
If there's any way we can eliminate that pond, we will be doing it. We may have a similar amount of remove trees immediately adjacent to the facility in order to create the structures we need, but they'll probably be subsurface or surface structures that will discharge away from it.
Okay, and again, what we put in our letter is that, you know, we're not experts or anything. So when the agencies that you all have referenced tonight make comments or recommendations, it's based on what I consider to be their expert opinion. And so if they say this place is prone to flooding or whatever challenges it presents, I think that needs to be heeded. I'm not against the development. I'm not against, you know, that's the way it's zoned, so they should get their houses or whatever. Like I said, I just don't want to be collateral damage down at the other end. I live there now.
One of the things Conservation District does is that they look at, they're going to look at not just this project, they're going to look at how this project sort of fits in with all the other ways that water flows and stormwater management connects together. They've really started getting more proactive in doing that. So they're the folks that will really have oversight. And you, they're in the phone book. I don't know the number offhand, but you can always talk to them along the way. And, you know,
and one other thing that I won't go through my whole write-up, but there was some comment made about is there a buffer between that property and Bethany Lakes. Right along here, I think you talked about a roadway. We call it a walking path in Bethany Lakes. It's not a roadway, no cars. It's a walking path that goes that way, then it goes down towards the salt pond. And there were some people in one of the write-ups that talked about trying to get an easement onto Bethany Lakes so that the transportation people wouldn't have to build something out there and spend money. Well, I can't speak for Bethany Lakes, but I can speak for me as a homeowner, is that, hey, we pay our dues, we take care of our property. You know, you have to take care of your own. So the buffer that we request to be built here is a real buffer. Like, what's that old saying, good fences make good neighbors? We have a split rail fence that goes along Fred Hudson, three split rail PVC fence. It could easily be connected and go all the way down here and come all the way over here, right along our walking path. I keep your people on your side and our people on our side. I mean, I don't know, saying like I'm unfriendly, but, you know. It's the old saying. So all my other good stuff's in the paper.
Can I ask one follow-up question? Is it from what, just so the record's clear, what your, well, I'll ask it. Are you saying that you'd prefer the fence as opposed to some vegetated buffer? Just,
well, I mean, they say they're going to keep the poplar trees, but, you know, they're like 20, 30 feet apart. So I don't think you could probably put a buffer in there that'll keep people from just saying, let's just walk over there onto the walking path and head up the road. So I think the only way that to prevent that is to take the PVC fence and just connect it on down. Come along here. Now, somebody might say, well, they can't do that because the poplar trees are right up against your road. And to that I would say, nobody's telling you you have to put your fence on our property line. You know, you can move it in 2 feet. So it's that way. It'll look like me on some of your property, but, you know, we don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Linden. Anyone else speak to opposition? I believe it's the gentleman's daughter.
I'm Beverly Linden, his wife, and I just want to make 2 points. I think they said that a road comes all the way down here. It doesn't. There's a walking path, then there's a road. And then we're like here. And there are houses right across the street from, you know, just a little road. Oh, it's okay. And I guess the other point I wanted to make is Bethany Lakes, we're a private, you know, community. We maintain our own roads and pathways. So to have a whole nother development, not that we want to be unfriendly, but, you know, encroaching on what we're maintaining doesn't seem quite fair.
Well, Mr. Abbott and I were the only ones that were here in 2004 when that came around, and that Mr. Fuqua is correct that originally there was a road that went all the way along Bethany Lakes on the top, and that was eliminated just so there wouldn't be the appearance of an interconnection there. So.
Well, I know when we bought our property, because it does, we knew it was private property on that side. We knew that the conservatory property was in back, but we were told that, you know, they didn't know anything at the time, apparently, or else they didn't disclose it to us. But anyway, for what it's worth.
Ma'am, how much space is between the property line and the walkway, Bethany Lakes?
Their property line?
No, yours. Bethany Lakes.
Our property, my property line? Yeah, we're right up against it.
No, I mean, the walkway, how much space between the walkway that borders and this Inland Bay's property line?
On the, I think you're talking about on the left side of that.
On the left side?
Are you talking about?
Yes. No, right there, yes, and along the top.
Right here?
Uh-huh.
At some point, I think we're probably that close. You know,
it's right.
The walkway's near, very near.
It's just like almost right on the line. Yeah. And then it drifts a little bit, you know. But, and then it goes, our walkway, again, goes along here,
right
it goes along here, and all the way over to here. And then it goes on to our road. So this is just grass area right in here. And our property is right here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any other questions? Then we're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call, if we make a decision this evening, or you may call the office in the morning.